Hey y'all, this is Sam, and this is Crimeology. This is episode 142. We are without Steven again this week, and probably will be for the next couple of weeks just to scheduling issues, but we're gonna push on. Episode 142. Before we get started, make sure to do all of the things. We've got Instagram and Facebook. They're both at Crimeology Pod. Obviously, we post pictures onto Instagram, but we also post our source material. So websites that we use, if there's some episodes where I'm talking about pictures or articles or different things like that, if there's ever something that I mention like that, they're posted on both Instagram and Facebook. So you can go check either one of those out. Or if you want additional information, you can go check those out. They're all there. We've got our email, crimeologypod@gmail.com. If you want to send us literally anything, suggestions, comments, concerns, we've had it from someone emailed us to do Gypsy Rose Blanchard. We've had people who've emailed us and said, hey, your audio sucks. We've had people email us because they didn't agree with our stance on a case. So we've had it. We've had interactions with people on all different sides of everything. And so it's just, it's cool because like we record this and even in Steven and thy friend group, like none of our friends really listen to us, which sounds sad, but like we're okay with it. And so in our day-to-day life, I mean, how many years have we been doing this? 3 years? It's the like hype of it has died down a little bit. So like when we started, we had a lot of people who would talk to us about it and they'd be like, oh, that's so cool. And now like after 3 years of doing this, we don't really get that many people in our day-to-day life who say something. And so it's honestly something that I like forget we do because we also record episodes like in advance. Anyways, and so it's a super cool like kind of reminder to get emails or comments or anything from you guys, because it's also like, oh yeah, people like listen to our podcast, which is just cool. And so anyways, it's still one of those things that even 3 years after doing this, it's still so cool to get a DM or an email from somebody and being like, there's somebody else in the world who's listening to my voice right now. And how kind of weird but also so cool is that? Anyways, it's my mind wandering. But we've got those social media, email, make sure to do all of those things, subscribe, favorite, share, 5 stars, all of those good things while you're at it. And so, yeah, this is episode 142. Let's dive in. This is the Longo family murders. So this week's state is Oregon. So with Steven not being here, I'm not going to embarrass myself. But I did look up a few because there was an episode I did a while back that Steven also wasn't on that episode and I didn't do this little segment that he had started. So I was like, well, let me look up a few like fun facts about Oregon, I guess. The potato is the state's official vegetable, and that was, I don't know how they determined that. Anyways, that was like figured out in July of 2023. So a new, I don't know what it was beforehand, but I'm a big fan of the potato. I say the potato is my favorite food in general. So love this about Oregon. Milk is their official state drink, which is just weird. Their nickname is the Beaver State. And then fun fact, most of the pears in the US come from Oregon. So the more you know. I'm not going to embarrass. I mean, I obviously would have had to look up what the flag colors are and what state number it is and all of that stuff anyways, so I couldn't do that by myself. Anyways, so there's your little fun facts about Oregon. Because Steven's not here, I've got to fill in for him. So this week, we're talking about the Longo family and the brutal murders of Mary Jane, Zachary, Sadie, and Madison, committed by the husband and father, Christian Longo. So Christian and Mary Jane got married at 19 years old, and they had their 3 children. 4-year-old Zachary, 3-year-old Sadie and 2-year-old Madison, and they were all living in Michigan. Now, Mary Jane was a stay-at-home mom while Christian worked. Now, the family was very big in their church. Mary Jane was a good mom. She loved on her kids. Christian seemed like the perfect husband and the perfect father. And Christian is a very good-looking guy with a well-paying job. He was raised in a religious household, was an active member of their church with a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. And so on the outside, his life is looking pretty perfect. But when the bodies of Mary Jane and their 3 children are found in a river in Oregon, the reality of Christian's seemingly perfect life comes to light. Christian's marriage started off with lies from the very beginning. Christian couldn't afford to buy Mary Jane a wedding ring, so he started their marriage by stealing money from his employer at the time in order to pay for the wedding ring. In order to keep the appearance that he had this seemingly perfect family and this amazing life, Christian went into significant credit card debt by booking expensive vacations, buying nice clothes, nice shoes, and just items around their house to keep up the appearance and make the family look better to outsiders. Even going to the extent for Mary Jane's birthday, he gifted her a stolen van. He kept this lifestyle going by stealing credit card information, printing counterfeit checks, stealing and hustling people out of money. So this started as kind of just a like a self-sabotage kind of situation in the credit card debt situation of him taking out another credit card, another loan. And so it kind of unlike that self-sabotage is what I mean. And then he quickly realized or learned how to steal credit card information, open up loans in other people's names for a significant amount of money. He figured out how to write fake checks and how to make them go through. And so like slowly this turns into this lifestyle that he is now doing. And because Mary Jane is a stay-at-home mom, she's just like, oh, well, you know, you've got a raise, and so this is pretty good money, and we're living pretty good, you know. And so anyway, so Mary Jane has obviously no idea that any of this is happening. Around December of 2001, Christian's world starts crumbling around him when his lies come to light and the possibility of seeing jail time for the first time comes around. Christian is caught trying to cash a fake check, and then he is found guilty and sentenced to 3 months of probation and is ordered to pay back the $30,000 he stole using the checks. But he was falling behind on payments and wasn't able to afford it. And around the same time, Christian was also found cheating on his wife. And when this became public knowledge, he was kicked out of his church. So after all of this is happening and his seemingly perfect life is starting to crash down around him, Christian decides to move his family from Michigan to Oregon to try to see if they can start over again in a different place where no one knew them and see if this could so he could keep his scams going there. So, however, the move didn't work out for him like he thought it would. And so, I mean, at first, I'm like, this is, you know, can this work? But, and so here we are in 2024. And this is, I mean, in multiple ways, this case is one of those things that I'm like, I don't know if, and we'll go into details obviously later, but I'm like, in this case, I don't know if this case could happen today. But this is also one of those details that I'm like, I don't know if a case like this could happen today just because of the, digital thumbprint that we have on the world. Anyways, sidetrack. So sometime on December 16th, 2001, Christian comes home and he strangles his wife, Mary Jane, and their daughter, Madison. He strangles them to death. He then stuffs their bodies into suitcases and weighs them down with dumbbells and puts the suitcases in the back of his car. Christian then goes back inside the house and Zach and Sadie are in the house sleeping. He picks them up from their bed and puts them in the back seat of the car. And then he drives to a river finds a bridge that goes over the river, and he parks on the top of the bridge. At the top of the bridge, Christian fills pillowcases full of rocks. And this is like, I mean, you think of a man doing this to your kids and it's like traumatizing. He fills pillowcases full of rocks, ties them to the ankles of Zach and Sadie. And then when he is done with this, he then throws both of his children over the side of the bridge while they are still alive. After this, he then throws the suitcases over the bridge with Mary Jane and Madison's bodies inside, and then he goes home. Now, in the days after his murder, after murdering his entire family, he rents movies from Blockbuster. He's playing volleyball with friends. He even goes to a work Christmas party where he gifts a bottle of Mary Jane's perfume to a coworker. Now, I know at this point, Stephen would say something about, like, well, is anybody missing the family? Like, is anybody asking questions? Like, why isn't somebody like, hey, where's Mary Jane? Where's the kids? But you have to think about the details. They were just kicked out of their church, right? First off, let's start at Mary Jane's a stay-at-home wife. Stay-at-home wives, I mean, they're dealing with the kids, right? So you might be going to the park. You're going laundry shopping is almost what I said. You're going grocery shopping. Like, you're doing those kind of daily things. But who knows how many people Mary Jane was dealing with on a daily basis. So it's one of those situations that, because they were so involved with their church, is the church the only time she was really around people? During the week, was she around people? And so you've got that. And then on top of that, remember that he was caught cheating on his wife. And so the church left him. So now at this point, if that was Mary Jane's kind of only avenue to adult conversations, that was taken away. So at this point, it's more than likely that Mary Jane had no one. Maybe she wasn't talking to anybody if they weren't at the church. So it's very possible that there just was, that Mary Jane and the kids went missing because nobody knew they were missing, if that makes any sense. So for Stephen, who's listening to this audio later, think about that, because I definitely know that he would say something like that right now. So anyways, there you go. December 19th, a body is found floating in the river. And then when police are called and the body is retrieved, they are able to identify the body as Zachary. When Christian hears that a body has been found in the river, he isn't even sure that it's one of his family members, but he decides that he can't stick around, so he flees to Mexico. When officials aren't able to locate the rest of Zach's family, they decide to put divers into the river to see if they can find anything else. And then this is when the body of Sadie is found. Now, 8 days later, the suitcase with Mary Jane and Madison's body are also found. Autopsies were done on the bodies, which is how we know that Sadie and Zach were both alive when they were thrown into the water due to water being in their lungs. So now that Christian's whole family is found dead and they aren't able to locate his body, officials look into his life and they find enough to charge him with the murders. So now Christian is on the FBI's top most wanted list. After much digging, officials discover that Christian had bought a plane ticket to Mexico with a stolen credit card and was living under the name of Michael Finkel, who was a former writer for the New York Times. While living in Mexico, Christian was living his best life. He was having the time of his life. He had the whole hotel convinced of his stolen identity. He lived on the beach, so he's getting drunk every day and then going to nightclubs every night. And he had even started a romantic relationship with a tourist there. And then just one day in January, Christian is spotted in Cancun and his identity is told to police officers, and then he is arrested. After Christian is arrested and brought in for questioning, he starts by telling police that he sent his family to a better place, which is one of those admitting to something but not really admitting something. So this is important to remember, because when his trial starts, Christian's story completely changes. Christian now says that Mary Jane killed Zach and Sadie in a fit of rage after finding out the truth of how Christian was getting his money. He said when Mary Jane turned her anger towards him, that he had no choice but to strangle her. And then he killed Madison out of pity. Now, despite this story and the changeup, Christian was convicted of all four murders, and he was sentenced to death by lethal injection. Now, while on death row, Christian worked to overturn a law that forbid inmates from donating their organs after an execution. He said it was a wish to make amends for all that he had done. Now, also while in jail, Christian started a friendship with the real Michael Finkel, the man who he stole his identity to go to Mexico with. Michael ended up flying to come talk to Christian, and the two of them started an unlikely friendship. Christian was even able to get into Michael's head, convincing Michael that he was innocent of the crimes against him. But after Christian's trial and the guilty verdict, and Michael seeing the case for himself and realizing that Christian was indeed guilty, he ended up writing a book about the friendship with Christian that ended up being a movie. Then officials said that if Zach's body hadn't been found when it had been, it could have been decades before any of their bodies were found. And Christian is still on death row in Oregon. And so another fun, I guess, fun fact about this case is very recently I wrote down this fact because I found it after I actually wrote my quote script, but I don't have it, so I don't know what the date is. But I want to say it was 2023. The Mary Jane's sister gets a call that's basically says, hey, the governor of Oregon has decided that there are 17 inmates who are currently in Oregon's on death row in Oregon. There are 17 inmates. This governor has decided to overturn all of their sentences, and instead of being on death row, their sentence is now life without the possibility of parole. So as of last year, I want to say it's July of 2023, I could be wrong about the month, but now Christian is in jail for life, and so he is no longer on death row. But that happened, and there's an article where the sister specifically was like, I had no idea, like, this was even a topic. I didn't even know this was going to happen. And so that's where this case is now. And so if you're in Oregon, you might have reheard this case, because that's the big, phenomenon with it, is because which is just another question in and of itself, is how can you overturn a sentence when you're not letting the family of the victims know, or literally anybody know? Anyways, that's a side story for another time. But that's why this story in particular has made its rounds back into the media. And so that's the update of this case. I don't think I've looked to see, like, if Christian's ever said, like, here's why I did it. Obviously, we can understand that he was probably in a tough spot, but like, he lived in Oregon for a little bit after he killed his family. So it wasn't like he killed his family and then ran to Mexico. Like, he stayed in place for a while. So that's also where I'm just interested to hear why he did it. Like, if he was just like, listen, like, I was spending too much money on them, and so I needed to get rid of my family, you know, because of the lifestyle I'm living and stealing my money. It was getting more difficult to steal more money. I don't really know. So anyways, but I couldn't ever find anything that if he ever said, like, verbatim, here's why I killed my family. It's obviously extreme to kill your whole family. And I say this every single week, and I need to stop saying it, or maybe I need to stop being surprised by people. But when I look at cases like this, like, it's also when you 3 years of researching crime, you start to get like, I don't want to say used to it, but it's kind of one of those where you're like, oh, this is just another typical murder, right? Like, there are some that kind of like carbon copies of each other, which is horrible to say. But this is one of those cases, again, like I've said for weeks, that there's just so much more to it. And there's so much more like thinking, like you can think of all of the theories of why did he kill his family? And if you grew up in a religious household, like, how did you realize that, like, stealing credit card information? And I wouldn't even know how to start stealing somebody's credit card information. I wouldn't know even how to steal someone's identity. Like, those are things that, like, me, I wouldn't even know where to begin to look. And so those are things that, like, living in a religious household and living this, like, pretty decent life as a kid, like, how do you even get into that? And so anyways, this is one of those crimes or one of those cases that, like, for the rest of the week, I'll be like, do you think this is how he got into it? And, like, do you think, like, this is why he did that? It's a joy to be my friends because those are conversations that I bring up. But now you can think about that for the rest of the week and think about how to steal someone's identity. Maybe you already know, but I wouldn't know even where to begin. Anyways, sidetrack. There's a lot of rabbit holes that I find myself going down when Steven's not here. He at least, oddly enough as this sounds, keeps me on track a little bit. But yeah, there you go. We'll stop talking. This is episode 142. Like always, make sure to like, subscribe, share, 5 stars, do all of those things. Instagram, Facebook, our email. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you guys for listening to me ramble and letting me ramble. We don't talk about numbers as often as we did, but like I said in the beginning, like, getting emails or DMs or comments from you guys is super cool. And then it also, seeing the numbers like plateau is just super cool because that means, like, obviously you guys are coming back and listening, which is just super cool because I also, like, am a huge fan of crime podcasts. So I don't listen to my own podcast because the sound of my voice is annoying. But it's cool because, like, being a fan of crime podcasts, like, I know there's a vast number of crime podcasts out there. So it's just also super cool that you guys are coming and listening to this one when I know there's a significant amount out there. So, like, thank you so much for choosing ours and listening to ours on a consistent basis. It's just super cool. That this little Oklahoma girl and people are listening to her. So anyways, I will stop talking now. Episode 142. Thank you guys so much. Like always, this is Sam and this is Crimeology.